Welcome to Raising Black Boys. I am your host, Thermone Duckworth, and today we are talking about financial literacy, empowering black youth. And with me, I have Mr. Reginald Bullock, and this is just a well-educated brother who has almost 20 years of experience in the banking industry. He is going to be dropping just a wealth of knowledge. You get that? Wealth of knowledge. All right. Yeah. Okay. He's going to be dropping some bombs on us, really just to get us thinking and tackling some difficult topics, some difficult questions, and discussing something that needs to be on the forefront of our minds as we think about trying to not only empower our children and empower the next generation, but pass on a legacy of financial well-being, because financial well-being is, you know, it's beyond, you know, the material things. It's beyond just having capital that you can utilize for, you know, benefits to acquire things. But, you know, there's a mental wellness that comes with being in a financially stable position. There are health benefits. There are stresses that you don't have to experience in life. There's a sense of ease and a sense of peace that you can have when your money is right. And so Reggie is going to be taking us through some numbers. He's going to be sharing some information, and we're going to go back and forth a little bit and go through some questions and provide some information that I think is just critical for us to have the discussion around the table as adults, but then thinking through it and how we translate this discussion into lessons for our children. So I'm looking forward to this. Hope you enjoyed this interview. And Mr. Reggie, I'm going to pass it on to you. Let's roll.
Bam. So thank you. Thank you again and again and again for allowing me the opportunity and giving and letting me be part of your platform to educating and empowering our black youth. Mm-hmm. You said a lot in that introduction, and I just want to say that those things are vitally important, right? Mm-hmm. It is a lifestyle, how, you know, mental health, financial health, even health in your finances will promote health in your mental stability and Absolutely. Your physical stability. And so just to give you a little, to digress a little bit and give you a little backdrop on who I am, I was born and raised in Detroit, Michigan, okay. Relocated to North Carolina in 2012. I spent up until March of 2019 or April of 2019, I spent almost 20 years in the banking world. Everything from, lending, mortgage lending, all the way up through, portfolio management, recently Community Reinvestment Act portfolios, where I really found my purpose.
Okay.
When I decided to leave banking in 2019, it was with the intent of starting a company that would allow me to continue the work that I found very important while working in the banking world. And that is community reinvestment, reinvesting into urban areas where largely the people are voiceless or feel voiceless or feel hopeless, right?
Mm. Yeah.
And so when we talk about financial literacy, some might say, well, what is that? You know, why is that important? I don't understand what financial literacy is, and I don't understand why that's important. Yeah. And so just keeping that in mind and how it relates to our youth. I've got a couple definitions of financial literacy, right? Okay. And so Investopedia, right, which would be our encyclopedia for investment, right,
okay.
defines financial literacy as a focus on the ability to manage personal financial matters efficiently, right? Okay. We want to be able to make decisions on personal finances, right?
Right.
Okay, efficiently. And this includes knowledge of making appropriate decisions about personal finance, such as investing, insuring your life or your loved ones, real estate, right? Where to buy homes, what is the right kind of home to buy, what's the right amount of home to buy, paying for college, if we have, when we have children, speaking to the black youth, is it dad and mom's responsibility to save for the child's college? We should be able to do that, but is there also a lesson in that that we can give to our youth that they too should
They need to pay for their own stuff. I ain't That's paying
right.
for nothing.
That's right. That's what you, and budgeting, right?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know the word budgeting until I became an adult. Why aren't we talking to our children about that? Right. Retirement and tax planning.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Tax planning. And then just really quickly, financial literacy is also defined as the ability to understand how money works, how someone makes, manages, and invests money, and how they also spend it or expend it, especially when it comes to charity, right? Because that also, financial wellness and financial health is also about how we can help those that may not have received the message that we're trying to deliver, right? And that purpose, that legacy that you talk about is important in that. And so, you know, I know that we have some questions that we're going to jump into, but, you know, some things that jumped out at me is education, wealth, financial education. What does that mean? You know, what does that look like to youth? Banking, what does that look like? I have some stats around underbanked and unbanked in America, right? Because that is a real thing in America. And so, you know, give me an idea or sense of what's important and what you want to gather from this.
Yeah. So what I would say is, first of all, excellent intro, and thank you for that. And again, and thank you for being there. I really do appreciate it, because I can tell that we're about to learn. We're going to learn a few things. And that's why I'm looking forward to this series. I would say let's start off with some definitions. When we're talking about unbanked, underbanked, there was a lot in there, a lot to unpack. So talk to me a little bit about some of the definitions. Let's go into a couple of the stats, but let's maybe keep them targeted toward things that we can change with our youth, as in, like, I can start with this with my children tomorrow.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. And so when we talk about unbanked or underbanked, those definitions, unbanked is just defined as where no one in the household has a checking or a savings account. Okay. So mom, dad, I have a 22-year-old who's graduating college, who's in the household half of the time, right? And I have a
thank 12, congratulations.
Thank you. And I have a Aggie Pride, NC.
There you go. All right.
A&T. So, and my 11 and 12 year old. So no one in the household has a checking or a savings account. Mm-hmm. And then to differentiate the difference between unbanked and underbanked. Underbanked is defined as where a household, at least one person in the household, has a bank account. But they still go outside of the bank for their financial services, such as money orders, check cashing, payday loans, etc. And so if we want to talk about, okay, so what's that look like for Americans? Like, what should I expect, right, as a person that lives in America? Well, we know from a study that was released in October of 2018 by the FDIC, it's a national survey of unbanked and underbanked households in the U.S. We know from that report that number is down. The number of American households that are unbanked or underbanked has actually increased. And I want to digress for a little bit, because we're talking about black youth. And so, you know, just to reiterate the importance of this. Wherever there's a problem in America, and you can look at this in 2020 or you can go back to Jim Crow, but whenever there's a problem in America, the problem is always greater for black people or Hispanic and Latino people.
Yeah.
So America can have this Great Depression, right? Or we can have this COVID, and the people that it impacts most, right, are on the lower end, right? Underbanked people, unbanked people. So we serve the greatest interruption to life in those circumstances when there are bad things happening in America. And so, you know, just to let you know, in 2017, the rates were higher among lower income homes where you were unbanked or underbanked.
Okay.
And so when you talk about a 14.1 million adults or 8.4 million households, that number is even larger within the Hispanic and the Black community.
Okay.
And so they're
percentage-wise.
Percentage-wise.
Okay.
But, you know, sheer numbers-wise. So there in itself is the reason why we should be talking about it. And you say, so where do we start? Right? So where do we start talking or having that conversation? In my experience, we don't have those conversations in our households. And so we have to start having them almost before we decide to have a child, right? How are we going to take care of this child? How is this child's life going to be different from ours financially? Right? Or are we going to just transfer that burden, right? Are our lives underinsured? And so now when we pass away, our children have to bury us because we don't have a contingency plan or a life insurance plan that will at least at some, you know, help our family, the people that are left behind, to manage that process and move on with their lives, right? As opposed to adding a burden, a financial burden,
right,
while dealing with the grief of losing a loved one.
It's a double-edged because...
And establishing a debt because of it, right? So now you have that pain that lingers because you're making a payment to someone or to an entity for something that you didn't plan ahead for.
Yeah. So what would you say, kind of honing in on that? Absolutely. So you talked about family planning. So obviously, you know, I would say, I mean, I don't think anyone could argue against that. But let's talk about, you know, me, my situation. So I've got a 12-year-old, I've got a 7-year-old, I've got a 1.5-year-old. The 1.5-year-old, whenever, grandparents send money in an envelope, I put that in my pocket. I consider that, you know, payment to me. All right. He gets nothing. Right? he can get some milk. That's what he can get in a bottle.
Right. He gets food at the end of the day.
He gets food. All right.
Shelter.
That's right.
A warm bath.
Hey, listen, man.
Clothes. All right.
That payment wasn't to you. Right. They were paying me.
Right.
They're paying me for those
That's
cute
your
pictures.
Next pair of sneakers.
That's what that is. Right. That's what it is. No. So, you know, family planning, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
I've got children at home now. What would you suggest might be some basic lessons that we want to try and start talking to them about that we can start tomorrow?
So, great question. You know, I mentioned that I have a 22-year-old.
And speaking about banking, we'll talk about that first and then kind of move on.
Yeah. So, you know, having a 22-year-old, it was important that once I realized how important it was that he and I start talking about banking and what that means. Because most of the time you think, oh, I get a checking account, I deposit money into it, I just use that, I swipe that debit card,
right?
And the money comes out and it's all good.
Yeah.
You know, it'll tell me when I don't have enough money in the account, right? Right.
Right.
Accounts should be used for savings first, right?
Okay.
And so you say, when do you start having that conversation? Well, I started having that conversation when I realized it. Now, unfortunately, I was late to the game, right?
Okay.
As an African American, I didn't understand the importance of credit until I knew I had bad credit.
Mm.
I didn't understand the importance of banking until I knew I needed a bank account. And credit score, you know, they pull your credit to give you an account, right?
Yeah.
And so I, unfortunately for me and my oldest son, we started talking about banking in his teenage years, right? So, you know, 13, 14 years old. He had his first bank account at the age of 15.
Okay.
He's now 22, right?
Yeah.
But now, my younger two, we've had accounts for them since they were born.
Mm.
And we started talking about the importance of budgeting and being able to support yourself since they were able to listen to us speak, right? And it's a matter of earning versus and saving, right?
Mm.
We need to earn money because though that's how we afford the things that we need to sustain our lifestyles, right?
Okay.
Saving is also a part of that. We're not just earning to spend, right? We're also earning to save, right?
Okay, I like that. Yeah.
Right?
Okay, not just earning to spend, earning to save.
Absolutely. Okay. That's just most finance books that I've read always say you have to pay yourself first, right?
Yeah.
The old adage is, you know, Big Mama and Grandpa, Papa would save the money in a mattress. They would stuff it in a shoebox or something like that, right?
Yeah.
You know, you give the bank a record of your deposits, right? That helps you when you need to establish credit. And so we want to start talking about those things at a very early age. We want to talk about setting up a bank account as early. I believe that we should do it at birth. Okay. Again, I practiced that with my youngest too.
Yeah.
You know, not only did the government give them a social security number when they were born, but dad and mom gave them a bank account with a small deposit that they can start to see interest accrue over their lifetime.
I like that. I like that. The government has given you a social security number. You got a card from them, right? They acknowledge you in your personhood. You got a birth certificate. Now, mommy and daddy are going to set you up with some financial security. And I like that. Okay. So, and it seems like what you're saying is basically make budget and finances, income, expenditures, income, savings. That should just be part of kind of almost like a daily conversation. Not, you know, not daily lessons per se, but just it's part of conversation.
Absolutely.
Well, I want to have this. Where's the money for this? Right. We need to be thinking about that. So just make that part of regular conversation. Okay. Yeah. And then, so you would agree, or you would say, obviously, and you practice it, start establishing an account with them tomorrow.
That's right.
Take them down, take them to the bank. Let's set up an account for you right now. Is there a certain type of account that you recommend that they set up?
Absolutely. You want to set up a savings account. They don't need a checking account at an early age because they're not writing checks. They shouldn't be using a debit card at an early age, yeah, right?
Boy, if that boy pull out a debit card on me,
we're going to have a conversation. It should be strictly a tool for savings, right? It should be something that a child can look at month to month, or let's say biannually every 6 months, and say, man, I put this much into it. Look at what I've saved this year, right? And we try to have fun with it at home, right? And so I'm big on change. I think most Americans really underestimate the value of the change in their pocket. I know from practice that I, over a period of 30 to 90 days, can save almost $100 on average in change, if not more.
Is it like changing your car and stuff like that?
Changing my car, changing my pocket. Our change, my wife and I, we have a game that we play in that every time that we come home with any, if we have to break a bill and we get change, and this was pre-COVID, we're not using change so much now, we bring that coin home and we put it into a bowl.
Okay.
And every 90 days or quarterly, we would take that bowl to the credit union. And we can talk about credit union accounts and why we should have credit union accounts or establish a relationship with your local credit union. We deposit that money in there every 90 days, and that money just, that's money that just sits in the savings account in that credit union account, right? Okay. We've started to have that game with single dollar bills now. If either of us make change and we have a single dollar bill, we bring that single dollar back now and we put that dollar into a bag. And we haven't taken that bag to the bank yet. I just want to see how big the bag can get before we have to take it to the bank.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Okay.
I don't haven't even counted it, but you know, we do things like that and we allow the children.
They can get involved with that.
They can get involved with that. It's fun to do. Look at that bowl of change growing, right? That shiny thing that kids like. You know, you see the ice cream man coming. Guess what? You got a bowl of change that you can go to. It's not so much that they depend on mom and dad, but now they can help mom and dad. Hey, you can put that change in the credit union account with our savings, mom and dad, right? So now they have a sense of purpose and a sense of inclusion in the daily financial perspective of the family, right?
Not only that, responsibility, because as you said, they hear the ice cream truck and they're like, oh, can I get the Ziploc bag? Do you know how much is in that bag?
Right.
All right, so you're marking that off, maybe perhaps marking off how much is in
that
bag.
Absolutely.
All right, now you're going to spend that much. You realize that means that if we go to the store, that's less money, all right. So you can start teaching accountability, responsibility.
Absolutely.
Okay.
We don't always buy, you know, as adults, right? We see, I'm going to speak for myself. I see lots of things that I would like to purchase, right? But as a fiscally responsible person, I know that I can't buy everything that I want, right?
Yeah.
And so what's important is to have your needs covered, right?
Right.
And if you can squeeze a couple of activities or wants into that after the fact, after you've taken care of yourself, right? You've saved a little, right?
Yeah.
Then by all means, treat yourself. That's a part of mental wellness, right?
Yeah. And lifestyle.
It builds confidence. The more prudent that you are about those things, and the better that you're able to gauge your spending, right? Budgeting your expenditures, the better, the more confident you're able to approach life in general. To your point, the better you sleep at night.
Yeah.
You don't worry about, I don't worry about going into a bank asking for credit because I have a relationship. I know I've paid my debts, right? Yeah. I know I have a pattern of savings established, right?
Right.
And so those things should give you confidence, right?
Yeah. So I walk into a bank right now, I'm going to be sweating, all right? I'm wearing 3 shirts because, you know, I'm sweating.
You know what I mean?
But my boys, you hope you're listening, okay? Y'all get your credit right because daddy coming to live with you in your house.
All right. I already got that contingency plan with my boys too. Like, hey man, you guys can't just stick me in the home when I get older. I've supported you my whole life.
I'm telling you, man, you're going to make some good decisions.
All right.
So that's banking. All right, we've talked about that. We've talked about accountability measures and things you can do at home, getting the children involved, Ziploc bags, or however you collect that change. I really like that idea. That's a great idea. So talk a little bit about, you mentioned underbanking. All right, so you have the unbanked, then you have the underbanked, wherein they might have a checking account, but it might not be the most advantageous. They're using other means. So talk a little bit about other means and talk about it in general, and then we'll kind of gear it toward teaching our children, be careful of,
right?
You know,
right. So we talked about gauging your needs versus your wants, right? Mm-hmm. And when we talk about underbanked folks, right? Underbanked is having a bank account in the home and still using other financial services, payday loans. Mm-hmm. Now, like we said earlier on, when there's a problem in America, that problem seems to be magnified in our areas, right? So you don't see a lot of brick and mortar banking centers in urban areas. Mm-hmm. You won't see a Wells Fargo brick and mortar branch. And we can talk about why, right? We can throw some information about why, right?
Right.
Probably a higher risk of robbery in those areas, right?
Sure.
But you'll see a payday check cashing place, right? Or a payday loan facility, or a liquor store where you can cash your check and buy your bottle at the same place, right?
Yeah.
Or at least in Michigan you do. Here you have state regulated stores in North Carolina, so you can't do those things. But I'm saying largely in America, right?
Yeah.
And so you say, well, those things are a good thing to have in a neighborhood for families that need it. It's never a good thing to have more month at the end of your money, right? So when you're paying bills, it's never a good thing to have to go to a payday loan service center and say, hey, I need money today that I'll pay you back for on my paycheck when I get it Friday. So you're spending money that you haven't even that you don't even have yet, right?
Yeah.
And you have these egregious fees that they charge. So it's not like these payday loan centers are working out
servicing the community, you know.
Right. It's not like they're hooking you up. Like, you know what, we'll give you a no interest loan for the next 3 days, right? No, we're gonna charge you, you know, 15%, 25% of whatever your paycheck is.
Right.
Right. And so now you're already setting yourself back because that money looks like grocery money, or that money looks like, you know, something else that may go undone in the home that you need it for.
Yeah. You know, we have so the parent has a checking account, underbanked. The parent has a checking account, but then they're still using these other means that are really setbacks. I mean, and it becomes a cyclical, almost a structural system, wherein they're just kind of hamsters on the wheel.
Absolutely.
You know, they're setting themselves back. Okay, so
chasing your tail.
Yeah. So I'm thinking about my children, and obviously, you know, there's the example, being the example for your children, that's fine. How do you think you could translate that into a lesson for your children when you say, look, this is these are things you want to be careful of, mm-hmm. when you're thinking about, hey, I want this, that means I have to give up a lot of something that I need in order to get what I want.
So, and you tell me if I'm wrong, but I think the message that there's a couple of things that I think we've kind of lost or digressed as a people. And, you know, my mom always told me that nothing easy is good and nothing good is easy.
Mm.
And everything that you can have is good for you. Not everything that you can have is good for you.
Mm.
And so in that vein, you know, you definitely don't want to come off as the parent. Well, I want to speak for myself. I've never wanted to come off as the parent that wants to stifle my young black boy's journey or his life experience, right? We all fall. You're gonna fall down.
You gotta let him fall. You gotta let him scrape a knee.
What you want to protect them from is making the same mistakes you did, right?
Okay.
And so in that vein, it's just a matter of, I think the more that we're able to give the example of everything comes at a cost, the better you are to make them aware of those things, that everything that we do comes at a cost, the better they are to see the importance of
weighing those costs.
Okay, you know, I wanted those retro Jordan 5s, but do I really want to ask mom and dad for them? I got the ones that came out last year this time, you know, and I can't fit them anymore. I 4 months later, I couldn't fit them. Do I really want to ask mom and dad? Or do I really want to spend money that I've saved for that?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And just being able to have conversation with your children around what they want versus what they need. And is that good for what they're trying to do? And if they don't have a roadmap of what they want to do or try to do, then yeah, we can, that's a great conversation over a game of war, or that's a great conversation, a game that we play in my home a lot, because it's a good math game in my mind, is dominoes. You know, it forces our kids to count, and we all sit down at a table. Again, you know, much about financial literacy isn't a black and white issue. It's a black and white issue because we're underbanked, or nobody's delivering that message to our children or us. The exclusion is a big problem. Financial exclusion is a big problem on the planet, not just in America.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that being said, you know, how do you go at it? Credit cards are the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, when you talk about credit cards, I got my son as an authorized user on one of my credit cards as a graduation present from high school. And it didn't allow him to use this card without my knowledge, but it gave him, it helped him establish a line of credit.
Right.
So why is that important, Dad? Well, 65% of what drives your credit score, son, is how you pay your debts, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how you manage your capacity. Well, what's capacity? Well, that's that credit card, you know, that dad made you an authorized user on.
Yeah.
If the limit on that credit card is $1,000, son, and you run and you have a $900 balance, you're telling the banks that you've used 90% of the credit that they've allowed you to have.
Yeah.
Son, if 65% of your credit score is driven on how you manage your capacity and how you pay your bills, well, Dad, I pay it on time every month. That's great. But if you're running at 90%, what you're telling the banks is that you need that 90% is going to drop that credit score. Why is that important? Well, it's important that, you know, when Dad and Mom aren't around, right, to help you establish credit, that you understand it in the capacity that you have something to be proud of that builds confidence when you walk into a bank. You have a high credit score.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the things that make that credit score high.
Yeah.
Right? Let's talk about what those things are that will drive that score down.
Yeah.
And you have to be aware of those things. If you think about it, you'll manage your life to it. And good habits are hard to establish, right?
Yeah.
But when you have a bad habit, like spending without knowledge of what you're doing, or credit without knowledge of how to use it, then it's a bad habits are hard to break.
Yeah.
Right? You establish those bad habits, it's hard to get to the good.
So I like how you really brought that full circle. You started off with what we're going to do is this. We're going to talk to you about spending habits in general, to I'm going to put you on my credit card as an authorized user, to explaining why it's important that you're on my credit card as authorized user, why it's important to make that payment, to why it's important not to be at this high capacity rate, to that capacity rate affects your credit score,
exactly,
to that credit score affects your financial wealth, stability, as well as security, to that's going to affect lifestyle to daddy needs a place to stay. All right. All right. I'm coming back to that.
All right.
Reggie's over here talking about dying. I ain't worried about dying.
I'm talking about living.
I'm talking about living. I'm trying to retire. Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
But no, you're exactly right. It comes full circle. And I see how you can break down these lessons. Mm-hmm. So I see that. Thank you for that. Let's talk a little bit about when we're that's older, that's teenage, you know, to older ages, to young adult. What about small kids? You know, what are some things? And I know this can be basic, but you know, as you said, we're just not having these conversations. So you mentioned like the change. I love the dominoes idea. I do have a question. Dominoes. Do you let them win?
I never let my children win.
My man.
They have to earn it.
My man. Okay.
You gotta earn it.
All right. I'll give you
no
a pound.
Free lunches.
I give you a pound on that, baby. Okay. Domino.
That's right.
Okay. All right. That's gonna come out bad on the podcast, but that's okay. My domino players will get it. What would you say is let's go back, let's go beyond that. Let's go beyond the teenage, mm-hmm. young adult. What do you think is perhaps some good basic lessons for, you know, your 6-year-old, your 5-year-old, your 6-year-old, your 8-year-old, your 10-year-old? What do you think?
So again, we talk about the how exclusion banking is a global problem right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to reverse that. We want to include our children at a very early age on those conversations.
Mm-hmm.
Crave Dwellings, which is the name of the company that I started in March of 2019, and Crave Group Corporation, the company that we started in 2020, C-R-A-V has a meaning. Christian is my youngest, mm-hmm. and that's the C. There are two Reggies. I'm Reggie, and my oldest is Reggie the third.
Okay.
My wife's name is Ann, and my middle child is Victor. And so at a very early age, we start. So these companies were established as they're young adults, right? My mm-hmm. my oldest is 22, but for my youngest two, this was established for them as young adults.
Mm-hmm.
But to have inclusive conversations about where we want to go as a family or what you want to do as a child. My son and my youngest two and I have been talking about their future since they could learn to talk.
Mm.
Financial wellness, financial literacy, mental health, and lifestyle health and wealth are all connected, like you said, are all interconnected mm-hmm. through the ability to include them in everyday financial decisions. Everything comes down to whether it's the decision to make to buy almond milk or the decision to buy 2% milk, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Whether to buy the pack of donuts or not. And I don't want people to think that it's got it like, man, you're cheap or you're frugal. No, that's not necessarily the thing. I'm not denying them anything.
Yeah.
I'm just painting the realistic picture that everything that we do has a cost. You want
to
play soccer? Guess what? There's a cost to it. Not only to the organization that you choose to play soccer for, but in the sneakers and the shin pads mm-hmm. and, you know, and the socks that we have to buy. And so it's, you know, those pressures, to your point, aren't just ours alone, right? You say, well, you have children. You don't want to burden them with your problems. They're not problems. Those are the realities of life, right?
Mm,
and the
like
sooner
that
you
like
are
that.
To talk about them and get comfortable with it,
yeah.
the better we are about preparing them for it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, as soon as my youngest, and you know, thank God for my wife. I wasn't the one. I was more reckless financially. And I still tend to be a little bit more than my wife is the saver of the two. Like
yeah.
I'm the more risky of the two. Let's be clear about that. But I do consider myself a fiscally responsible person. But to that point, my wife was the one who was saying, hey, you know, we got to get the boys, you know, at this early,
yeah.
you know, math games,
yeah.
You know, what a penny looks like, what a nickel looks like, what a quarter looks like, what
there
a dime looks like.
Shout out to the wife. He's holding men down. Okay.
That's right. Shout out to the strong women that stand behind their,
yeah.
that stand alongside of
alongside. Yes, man.
Of
yes, man.
Men,
so. Yes, man. Okay. So I like that. I think that I like the way you phrase that. I like the way you phrase that. People can say, well, you're including them on your problems. No, I'm teaching them the realities of life. Sure. And I think obviously with, you know, this, we're in August 2020. I'm going to teach my kids about racism. I'm going to teach my kids about the things that the opposition that they're going to face. Well, you're teaching them about hard lessons, and that's just including them on adult talk. No, I'm preparing them for life, for the reality of the situation. So I think that I like the way you phrase that. I really do appreciate that.
I mean, we're better to remove the color barriers, right, in our own lives. Now, you know, we understand what's going on in America, right?
Yeah.
We are better prepared to remove those barriers when we look like we need to on paper. Before you even meet me, right? If I'm submitting an application, if I'm being hired to work in the bank, right? They're going to pull a background check. Any corporation that you're going to go to work for is going to pull a background check on you, right? That background check is not going to just tell you your criminal history. It's going to tell you about your credit history. It's going to tell you everything that's important in the background check to that corporate entity that wants to hire you, right? And so, I mean, whenever there's a problem in America, that problem is larger for us. And so we have to be vigilant and what the message that we give to our children.
To prepare them
for that. And it's not a matter of black and white when you have the green. When you have it.
Oh man, I like that.
It's not a matter of black and white
when you have the green.
That's right. When you can walk into a bank and you know your credit is great. Right? And you can borrow and there's not a lot of questions, but how much and where you need to sign.
Yeah.
That's confidence. That doesn't mean you run into a bank and you extend your credit.
Right.
That means you manage your lifestyle so that if you need it, right? If your children need it, right? Perfect example. To digress here a little bit. My son is going to graduate college in December.
Yep.
I made it a point not to allow him to extend himself with a lot of financial debt. He's got some, but not the amount of financial debt that I think I had leaving for the short stint of college, right? And not the insurmountable amount of student loan I've seen while lending in the banking world.
Oh yeah, yeah. Student loan debt is huge.
And student loan debt you can't write off with a bankruptcy. Yeah. Most people don't know that, right? Mm. Student loan debts are one thing that aren't going to go away, regardless to whatever your demographic is, or whatever your lifestyle is, or how good or bad your financial perspective is. As soon as you're making money, The student loan people, if you've taken some student loan debt, are going to come back and they're going to want their money. Okay, and so again, you want to be able to breed confidence to where you can remove those color barriers. Yeah, is there systemic racism in this world? Absolutely. Are there challenges systemically? But the better we are at managing our lifestyle, right, from a diet perspective, how we spend our money, what books we read, and what we choose to teach ourselves, all those things change the dynamic of the trajectory of your life. And that's what we're talking about, right? To go back to it, we're talking about legacy. Right? We're talking about empowering black youth, and we're talking about encouraging black youth, right? And these conversations are essential. They're as essential as, you know, don't eat candy and diet to diabetics, know what I mean? And so it's, you know, I'm really happy to have had the opportunity to be here and to be, you know, be given a platform to talk about it.
Absolutely. Well, listen, this has been fantastic. I want to, thank Reggie. He will be back and we will dive into this conversation further in the coming weeks. Please stay tuned. This has been Raising Black Boys. I hope that you have enjoyed it and found this information not only useful, resourceful, but that this conversation was productive and helpful for you as you make decisions and look to empower black youth and empower your children and provide that legacy. Please check us out on YouTube, subscribe to the channel, our Facebook page, Instagram page. Share this podcast with your friends, with family, so that we can get this knowledge out there and grow this community together.